the sun is shining, the people are beautiful, got some smiles. Hey, Main Stage, what's going on, guys?
Shout out to Main Stage.
So how this show works, like I said, it's usually done in studio, but here we're live on location, and I've had the pleasure to get to know Mike and the guys here from Grant Avenue, and they've been... I'm grateful they've given me this opportunity to have this conversation with them. We're going to chat a little bit music, chat a little bit about the stage, Supercrawl, life in Hamilton, you name it, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
So guys, Grant Avenue, thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming, man.
For
thank
us.
You.
This, yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So why don't you guys do a quick introduction for those who are out here, for who you are and what you're doing. Because you're around this area, but people may not know who you are. So go for it.
All right, we're Grant Avenue Studio. We're a recording studio in Hamilton, Ontario. Opened in 1976 by the Lanois brothers, Daniel and Bob Lanois, and for the last 40 years run by a gentleman by the name of Bob Deutsch and a bevy of talented engineers. And we're located over on Grant Avenue here in Hamilton, just down the street from Main Stage.
Shout out Main Stage.
Shout out to Main Stage.
They're not paying attention.
Again.
Oh, there we go.
That's okay. Right. Okay. Hey,
we got into their subconscious.
They're just so used to hearing.
That's right. So I'm Mike. I'm one of the new owners.
Hi, Mike.
And longtime musician and lover of all things Hamilton and the community here. And we got Andrew here.
Yeah. And who's to your left? Who's to your right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm Andrew Lozon. I'm the head producer and engineer at Grant Avenue Studio. So I move faders, turn knobs, make things sound different than they did when we started.
Yeah, I like that.
So,
how long have you been there?
A little over a year and a half, I think, at this point.
About that,
a year and a half, yeah.
And who's the strong silent type on the right hand side?
He's the muscle.
I'm the muscle, yeah. I'm Marco Mundano, and I'm part owner, co-owner at Grant. Longtime friends of Mike and Andrew, and
plug for DC
and owner of DC Music in Toronto. Yeah.
So shout out to DC.
Shout out DC Music.
Yeah.
So thanks so much again. So thanks for having me on, and you guys obviously be on my show. Like I said, this is going to be recorded and then put on air in a few weeks. So those listening, you'll be able to rewatch this or re-listen to it in the future. We also do clips for online, so be able to check that out as well. I'm all about creating great experiences. So my whole thing is, you know, having musicians on, chatting, making clips for them, and it's all about creating opportunities. So what I love about what you guys are doing is you're doing the exact same thing. So what was the genesis for you guys to create this stage? Because this is kind of a one of a kind here on Supercrawl.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all musicians. That's how we, you know, got into this as musicians. And so, you know, part of what we do is live music. And you know, the recording studio came about, you know, last year when it was... time for them to kind of look at moving on, and so we just thought, you know, what's a great way to promote the studio and you know, be a part of the Hamilton music community is, you know, it's why not come to the most prestigious street festival there is, you know, and we talked to Supercrawl and they were so gracious last year to give us a booth. Which we had to set up a little busking station just to, you know, kind of get out in the community, meet people, and just give people the opportunity to, you know, show their stuff and you know, meet some new friends. And last year went off so well that this year we were like, you know, let's step it up a bit. And they were, Supercrawl was here for it, you know, and they said, okay.
Did you guys buy this stage?
No, we're we partnered up with a company called Leafbox. And they built this stage. It's a sustainable stage. It's got, you know, solar panels and, you know, LED lighting, and it's made out of sustainable wood and all that sort of thing. And you know, when we got talking about what we were going to do for a stage, you know, we were turned on to this guy by Lisa from Supercrawl.
Shout out Lisa. For those that don't know, Lisa LaRocca, actually.
Yeah.
She is
LaRocca.
The person, she kind of runs all of Supercrawl. Like there's other people, but she's the one who gets us going. So if anyone hears of a Lisa, you got to shake her hand.
She's
give
amazing.
Her a high five.
100%.
Give it up for Lisa.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, you guys know, like, she's giving you guys this opportunity to do this.
Oh, they've been great. like so great. Yeah.
And one of the best parts about having the stage is just it gives us an opportunity to showcase some of the incredible talent that comes through the doors.
Yeah.
Know? Like you work with people and it's just, you know, it's always such a different experience working with different people who have a different artistic vision. But and there's so many different people who are talented in so many different ways. And to be able to, like, you know, give the bands and the artists a chance, you know, an opportunity to you know, besides the recorded medium, to be on a live stage, you know,
yeah,
and just kind of with a captive audience. And so, yeah, it's just really exciting to see the artists we've worked with doing their thing in a live setting, you know?
Yeah, do you have anyone who's been through Grant Avenue who are playing today or playing this weekend?
Almost everybody that yeah. is playing, we've worked with in the past, either they've recorded at Grant or the local artists that we love and want to work with. But we know everybody. This was a very fully curated stage.
Have you guys had a chance to walk around yet, or are you kind of stuck to the stage?
Yeah, I walked around yesterday. I went to go check out Danko Jones.
Oh, how was Danko?
That was a pretty good show, yeah.
Yeah,
he always puts on a good show.
What else have you guys seen so far at Supercrawl?
I did the walk. You know, I you know, just wanted to see the layout and see who's here, and a lot of familiar faces from the past. I actually, it's funny, we have a print at Grant Avenue that was made, you know, a few years ago for charity, and you know, a bunch of people had signed it. It's a poster, and we have it hanging on our wall. And I actually just met the guy who did the print.
Amazing.
I met the guy who made the posters, so
amazing.
Now we're going to get him to do an updated version sort of thing. I haven't even told these guys yet. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's a recurring theme since we took over at the studio a year and a half ago. There's so much history there, and there's so many just little stones and gems that we're you know, unturning and finding little, like, learning things about what happened at the studio, because it's been running for so long. You know, not everything was documented over time. Like, we found out recently that Neil Peart recorded at Grant.
Of course he did.
He did, yeah. Not Rush. He was actually playing a session with the prog band FM.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I've never heard of them.
Yeah, they were pretty big in the
yeah.
70s. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, 70s, you know, 80s. Stuff like that, it's like we didn't even know that, you know. So the place is just such a deep and rich history.
I love
and
it.
And it's, it kind of permeates the walls.
We got some hot mics.
We got some, yeah.
Hot mics.
Okay, so for those listening, this is going to be aired on CFMU. My name is Stereo Russ, Inside the Music. We've got Marco, we've got Andrew, we've got Mike from Grant Avenue. And they're putting on this this band Shell, which is fantastic. You're playing later, aren't you, Mike?
I am, yeah. I
three
am.
Times.
I mistakenly lined myself up with three different bands. maybe a little short-sighted, but yeah.
I think I'm free. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
Marco
right.
And I'll be here. One of them.
All right, oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
are, so you three, playing, are you guys
yeah,
playing later?
Three
songs,
of us are playing
yeah.
at 3:45.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say, yeah.
Is it covers original? What are you guys doing?
It's covers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just yeah, we like to have
something
some fun.
We've been doing for fun, you know, just kind of getting in a room and making some noise.
Do you have a name?
Trash Panda.
Trash Panda,
yes,
baby. All right. So what we're going to do now, we're going to do a quick firing round here. So I brought something so it could be a little bit visual for the audience. So what I have is a whiteboard. And nice. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask some questions. And then one of you are going to pass the whiteboard over. And then you're going to get a chance to write something, but the other two can't see it. And then the other two have to try and guess if you've got the right thing
like
on
the
there.
Newlywed game?
Yeah, kind of like the newlywed game.
Are we going to get divorced after this?
That's your choice.
Or are we going to make whoopee?
So who would like to start with the board?
I think Andrew would like to start with
okay.
the board.
Andrew. So
I nominate Andrew.
All right.
And I wouldn't give you a board without something to write with.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so question number one for Andrew.
They're not allowed to see what I'm writing.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Okay. That's correct.
Hang on, let me get a mic stand here.
That would circumvent the... name of the game here. So for those listening and watching, this is Andrew. He's the head producer, head engineer at Grant Avenue. And so we're going to get into a little bit of that. So number one, and I don't know if you guys, I might sandbag you guys, so I'm sorry about this. The first one is, what is Andrew's favorite piece of equipment at Grant Avenue?
Oh, wow.
The one piece that I would take in a fire or my favorite thing?
Yeah, I realize that's two different things because you can't really carry heavy things in a fire. So I'm just going to say your favorite thing.
My favorite thing. Because if it's a fire, I'm taking the Mac Pro.
Okay, yeah.
But that it's not the sexiest thing that we've got.
Yeah, okay. What do you got?
I would say...
You should wait till I say it and then write it down. That way I can be right.
I should wait till you say it and then write it down, yeah.
No, you should write it down.
I'm going to say...
Oh, he's writing. He's drawing a picture, everybody.
No, ha, ha, ha. No.
Okay, he's got it. Okay, Mark. Marco, right. Sorry, Marco and Mike.
So I got to guess it?
Yeah. What's the one piece of equipment, his favorite piece of equipment?
That you definitely need, I would say... Your coffee mug.
That's right. I was going to say the other thing that he used for the stuff that you can't mention.
Oh.
What do you got?
What's that? What do I think? I think guitar pick.
Guitar pick? I went with the main console.
You went main console. Yep. Everybody.
We have a beautiful vintage MCI JH500C console. That's been there since the days of the Lanois brothers. Brian Eno broke some knobs on it. Like, it's got all kinds of mojo. It's just a thing of beauty.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds. Does it have API pre's on it?
It does have API pre's. Wow, that's impressive.
Okay, so I don't want to... We're not getting into that deep of inside the music here. Okay, so that leads me to my...
A little too far inside the music.
Yeah, a little too deep, a little too far inside the music. Okay, next question. We're going to do Andrew again very quickly.
Okay.
And this actually only because your first thing led into this. And the question is for Andrew, who's the head engineer at Grant Avenue. The question is, what does Andrew take in his coffee?
Oh. Well, that should be a question for
Ben, knows.
Ben, Krista, and Tyler, because I think they all know that. But do you guys know that?
Do you know the answer, Ben?
Okay,
don't say it. Where's Tyler at? He's gone. He just performed, and he was fantastic.
He just disappeared.
It's gone.
Uh-oh.
All right, what does Andrew take in his coffee? He's going to put the word console again.
Yeah. That's right.
No, API coffee.
API coffee.
I'm going to say two milks and one sugar.
Hang, I'm not finished writing yet. Okay. Slow down.
I hope that doesn't influence you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we have an answer.
We got an answer.
It's a three-parter.
This is very specific.
Three parts.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Okay. There's three components to it.
There are three components. I'll give you that much.
I'm going to say a half a cup of rum, a half a cup of vanilla hazelnut creamer, and his finger.
And that's how I broke this finger.
Marco?
Oh, I'm going to stick to two milks and one sugar.
There you go. Three
final
parts.
Answer.
Hold up. Ben? Three stevia.
Oh.
He's pretty darn close.
That's it. But I added an extra one in an ideal situation, a shot of Jameson.
There you go.
Two cream, three stevia, and a shot of Jameson.
I was
any
close
time
with
of
the
day,
rum.
Everybody. Any time of day. All right. So let's pass it on. Let's pass it to Mike.
Do you have a...
Yeah, I do. I'm prepared.
Look at that. Na-na-na-na.
And for those here, the music will continue in about 10, 15 minutes. Who's coming? Who's playing next?
Who's playing next?
Playing next, Dev?
Arc Identity,
guys.
Yeah. Right over there.
Great band.
I hope I'm warming up the crowd enough for you guys. I hope I'm doing a good enough job without music.
Nice.
Okay, so next, this is Mike. Mike is one of a co-owner of Grant Avenue. He hasn't slept in days, and he's playing three times today. So go, Mike. Mike, who's Mike's favorite musical artist?
I don't even have to write it down. You guys.
Yeah, that's kind of like too easy.
Debbie, do we know this answer? Yeah, okay. Okay.
All right.
He doesn't even know it?
Hey, what do you
what
got?
What is it, guys?
I'm going to say... Go ahead.
You
first.
Faith No More.
Oh, I was going to say Mike Patton.
Okay. You're both right.
Both right.
Here we go. Mike Patton, everybody. Okay.
No brainer. Too easy.
Okay, next one. Mike plays music. He plays in a band. Plays in many bands. But he also played in a big band in the 90s. What was the name of Mike's band from the 90s?
What was the name of my band from
the 90s?
The 90s.
my band from the 90s?
You had a I fact checked correctly, right? You had a band in the 90s and you sang in it?
Oh, which
couple?
Few.
There's a few.
Yeah, which one?
Okay, name one. How about that? Name one of Mike's bands from the 90s.
I mean, that's also easy because we gigged together, the three of us, back in the day.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the gig.
Okay,
that was in the 90s.
There's also a few Mike Bruces out there. One played with Alice Cooper. And who are we thinking of? I don't even know.
Well, we've got Faith Down. That's when we met.
Yeah.
When we were playing together. And before that,
I must have got drunk and lied on my
way. The band with Adam Messenger.
Oh.
What were you guys called?
OPM?
Again? OPM.
OPM, yes.
Any of those?
Yeah. I don't have the answers. I don't know.
All right.
Okay. All right.
I think of Faith Down more than anything.
Faith Down. That's the one I was thinking of. I was thinking Faith Down.
Okay. Yeah.
Not that my answer matters at all.
I'll write it down.
And for those listening, this is Inside the Music with Sarah Rust. This is going to be broadcast to air on CFMU in Hamilton in a few weeks, so stay tuned for that. If you want to find clips of this and all things Inside the Music, you can go on my Instagram at Sarah Rust. We can also check out, you know, Grant Avenue and what you guys are going on, too.
All right.
Lastly, we'll go two more. So over to Marco.
Okay.
Marco, ready?
I am ready.
This one might be easy to write down. We'll see.
When driving?
Marco, by the way. Marco is one of the co-owners of Grant Avenue Studio. Yeah. When driving, does Marco A, listen to music, B, listen to podcasts, C, listen to the radio, or D, raw dog it and not listen to anything?
Right.
It's like the airplane. It's like right. Putty on the airplane.
You didn't... Was there the A, B, C, and D?
Yeah.
But what about E, sings at the top of his lungs?
Oh, E sings at the top of his lungs. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that would be more a shower thing.
Shower only. That's the next question, Marco. All right. Marco, do you have an answer?
I do.
What do we got?
I'm going with A.
A, listen to music?
Listen to music.
I think it's F. I think he's learning other languages.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, last night, at the end of the night, after we had a few beers, I think he was speaking another language to me.
Drunkenese?
You thought so. Yeah, that's you're here.
Marco, what do you got?
I got raw dog.
You listen to silence.
Well, to be honest, my radio doesn't work right now, so I'm forced to raw dog it.
All right, you got us.
Yeah,
we don't pay him enough.
Putty on the airplane. Putty on the airplane. And lastly, for Marco, we'll go Hamilton. We'll go Supercrawl. We'll go Hamilton. There's a lot of great pizza in town.
Yes, there is.
There's debates.
It's Friday. No, it's Thursday. He's exhausted from a day of work, and all he wants is the best pizza in town. Where is Marco getting pizza?
All right.
We got, what do we have? We have Mai Pie. We've got Cowabunga. What are some other options out there?
Yeah, Domino's.
We're good.
Little Caesars.
And I haven't been to many in Hamilton.
Yeah.
I hear they're all great. I've only been to a couple, but
yeah.
All right.
I have a favorite so far.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Shorty's.
Shorty's.
Oh. Yeah.
Can't beat Shorty's.
I'm going to say Cowabunga, man.
And the answer is Shorty's.
Oh, yeah. Shorty's. All right. We got Shorty's, everybody. So, okay, thanks so much. We got one more question. This one's actually for Debbie, and then we're going to wrap up. So Debbie, for those that don't know, is like inside the music. She does everything.
The glue, the rock.
Yes.
And I have here, so my notes are in this five-minute gratitude journal that I've been reading, and I've been doing. It's a very fantastic book. And I want to do a little bit of gratitude for Debbie right now. So what is the one thing that Debbie does that you're like... Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. Let's do a little bit of gratitude.
Well, I'm married to her, so I can't really say my... so I'll leave it to Andrew and Marco.
I know. I hope this doesn't sound like a cop-out, and I sincerely mean it when I say literally everything that she does, because she is the glue that holds the whole operation together. We couldn't do it without her.
Yeah, we're all pretty chaotic people, and she keeps us... grounded and organized, and she's priceless, man. So
Priceless.
Priceless.
100%.
That's the word.
Shout out to Debbie.
Shout
Bruce.
Out Debbie. Everybody, round of applause for Debbie.
She has a tear behind those glasses.
Behind the scenes, inside the music. Oh, we got a big job. Ooh, yeah. Woo. All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap up. So this has been Inside the Music with Sarah Russ on CFMU. This is going to be live to air in a few weeks. So stay tuned for that. Marco, Mike, Andrew, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for taking the time.
Awesome.
To hang out with me today.
Thank you for taking the time
to share the love. Thank you. We are back. Thank you for listening. This is part two of the interview with the Grant Avenue crew. So we were just at Supercrawl chatting, and I had the pleasure to meet Andrew for the first time. I had a feeling on stage there was an energy, and I'm like, I want to ask this guy more questions.
All right.
And luckily, he said, why not? So we're doing a part two of the interview. And we're no longer at Supercrawl. This is now in the future.
Yes.
Which is in the present of when you're currently listening to it. But we are in Grant Avenue Studio. So, Andrew, thanks so much for having me in.
All right. Well, my head just exploded from all the temporal shifting there you were talking about
in
the future. And so I don't even know what time we're in now.
Yeah, neither do I.
We're in odd time. It's polyrhythms.
Polyrhythms. Yeah. We're in the right spot, and the scenery in here, it's beautiful. There's these beautiful stained glass, but you can't really tell what time it is here. It's like kind of this like beautiful, timeless space.
Right. Yeah.
That we're in. And I just want to say again before we kind of get into it, thank you, Andrew, so much for having me in this conversation.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me and ask me questions.
Yeah. So, Andrew, we'll start with a quick, easy one.
Sure.
Who are you, and why am I here? What's going on?
Name's Andrew Lozon. I'm a producer, engineer, multi-instrumentalist, composer, and registered audiologist. And I am currently the head producer and engineer at Grant Avenue Studio. Moved here from Toronto about a year ago, a little over a year ago.
Okay. Okay. A new import to Hamilton.
Yeah. Welcome. I'm hoping people don't throw tomatoes at me.
I know. You don't have a as long as you don't have a Toronto sign, you won't get a single tomato thrown at you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I've lived in Toronto my entire adult life. Didn't really have any plans to move. And then the opportunity came up for the studio. My partner and I had pretty solid roots planted there. She was actually born in Etobicoke.
Oh, so like serious Toronto.
Yeah. So she's, that's where she's like from.
Yeah.
And the opportunity came up and, I was not going to suggest moving to Hamilton. It was ultimately, she brought it to the table and it's funny because I had always said to myself, if I ever decided to leave Toronto and I wanted to stay fairly local, this is where I would go. And that was kind of like, it was kind of a no-brainer, to be honest, because I feel like Hamilton is just far enough away. It's got its own personality.
It's got its own
stuff going on. Yeah. Like, it's just, to me, I mean, no offense to anybody who lives in Oakville or Markham or Whitby or anything like that, but I just feel like Hamilton has, it's got a vibe, and with other places that are more, they're more on the periphery
suburban,
of Toronto,
yeah.
they're suburban, right?
They're suburban.
Whereas Hamilton is its own thing. And I just, I always thought it would be the place to land. So it's ironic and, serendipitous that here I am.
Yeah, what I love about Hamilton, too, is, like, so I'm from the suburbs, like, outside of Oakville, like, Milton, Georgetown area. And, it's like I wanted a place, when I moved to Hamilton, that had some sandpaper, that had some energy, that had an actual core.
Yeah.
And when I kind of, like, discovered on my own downtown Hamilton, I, like, fell in love with it. And the cool thing about it, and especially in the music scene, which we'll get into, it's, like, you can really kind of set roots in the scene. And I'm sure you can in Toronto as well, but I feel like it's such a, I mean, maybe you can speak this, maybe you can't. Maybe it's not worth getting into in this conversation necessarily, but like I feel like in Toronto you're dropping the bucket, whereas I feel like here you can really make waves in the community. Like you can meet people, like the 6 degrees of separation is a lot smaller. And I guess coming from a small town, like I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I feel like maybe there's more of a sense of community in the scene. I mean, the Toronto scene is great. To be honest, I don't really know what it's like now. I was sort of disconnected from it for a while. I was actually out of music for a few years entirely.
Oh my gosh.
I moved out to London to go back to school.
London, Ontario.
Ontario, yeah. Okay. Pursued an entirely new path.
What'd you do? What were you doing?
I don't know where I should start. But, so I went back
to... I was in an
to,
egg.
What's that? I was in an egg, yes.
No, sorry.
So at one point I started... So I've done a bunch of different things over the years. Uh-huh. And I've kind of like had, you know, shifted focus around, right? So when I first started doing music professionally, it was producing, engineering, mixing. And then I started getting... I had always done writing music for production music libraries and just little things here and there. And I started to more seriously pursue composing for film and television. And around that time, I thought it would be a good idea to go back to university and finish the music degree that I had started and never finished.
So you were doing all this even without a music degree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I had 2 years at York.
Yeah.
And... you know, so right out of high school, I did 2 years at York, and then I left because I just wanted to, I was just eager to get into the scene. And so I went to the Harris Institute, took recording business management, wasn't actually particularly interested in recording. And I was more of the mind, I want to learn the business side of it because I know how important that is. I knew it was something I wasn't particularly good at and that you need to be. But while I was there, I met production and engineering students, and those I had to take some courses, and that kind of that lit the spark for me.
Yeah, for right? sure.
Even though I graduated as a management student, so anyway, after graduating from Harris, I was in a couple of bands that were both kind of on the cusp. One of the bands, we had a deal with Zomba BMG Publishing. They were actively shopping us.
What was the band name?
The band was called Reason Disappears.
Okay.
And we were playing, we ended up playing the Warped Tour. We were playing with Billy Talent and 3 Days Grace when they had first, you know, gotten signed. And we were talking to a lot of the same people.
Billy Talent, did you go see them they were playing Hamilton.
Yeah, I did.
Were you there?
I did, actually.
Soaking wet night. Did they play the Saturday? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was the Saturday.
Yeah.
And that actually had significance because I met my partner of 20 years at a Billy Talent show at the Horseshoe.
Oh, that's so...
Like 20 years ago, and now we're still together, and we saw them, and that was just a real special moment.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's the one and only time I've ever walked up to a woman in a bar and initiated a con. I just never... It was just never my personality, and I just... she seemed approachable, and we started chatting, and 20 years later...
I love it.
The whole Billy Talent thing just kind of, brought it all together.
That's so nice. It's so nice. That's good. So you're in and out. You're doing composition.
So had two bands. We were really like really giving it, really on the verge. The other band was called Tall Man. We ended up connecting with an angel investor, and we recorded an album with a producer named Sylvia Massey, who is known for doing work with Tool and Johnny Cash, and you know, she's...
I'm a big Tool fan.
So okay.
Let's not go down that path right now. Let's keep it clean. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'll be a whole 3 hours.
Oh, so there's a whole... and then there's more to... There's more to that path, too. So Sylvia did Opiate and Undertow, the first two Tool records. Tall Man, the band I was in, we had a kind of a very much... We were influenced by Tool. It was not a secret.
So
we recorded with Sylvia, and that kind of like... further lit the spark for me. I was starting to get into production at that point, but I hadn't really chosen to pursue it in any serious capacity.
Yeah.
Until we had a recording set up in the jam space, and a friend of mine
called me up and he said, hey, can you come down? I'm recording this band. Mm. Can you come down and give me a hand with this? And I said, like, well, I guess. Like, okay. Like, I've never really done, I've recorded us and our demos and whatnot. Yeah, and so I went down there and ended up doing a 3-song EP with them. And it just kind of, that was a moment where I thought, oh, maybe I can do this. Right?
That's amazing.
Maybe I can do this professionally. And so I started doing that. That band actually, they were called The New Flesh. The lead singer was now a friend of mine, Josh Warburton, who ended up forming July Talk a few years later. And Josh is actually like an incredible lead singer. So when I saw July Talk and that he wasn't singing in the band, I thought, oh, I want to hear Josh singing, you know? Yeah, so it's anyway, sorry. I'm really on a tangent.
That's what this show's about. And for those listening, this is Andrew Lozon. Did I pronounce your last name?
Lozon, yeah.
Okay. Lozon, who's the head producer engineer here at Grant Avenue, downtown Hamilton. If you're just tuning in, that's the conversation we're having right now. Sorry,
right
continue.
On. Okay. So after recording that EP, it turned out pretty well. And I just kind of started pursuing it from there, mostly recording bands in the jam space.
Oh, yeah.
Actually. And
what year are we talking here? Is it like early 2000s, I guess?
That would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably early to mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was, so still in the bands, but starting to really be interested in pursuing this. And I recorded some albums in that jam space with pretty minimal gear. And, this Behringer console, if you'd even call it that.
Shout out Behringer.
Right? And, the Cancer Bats jammed next door to us. Yeah. So sometimes you'd be recording vocals and you'd hear,
like
whatever,
loud.
Just loud stuff coming through. So it had its challenges.
This is in Toronto?
This was in Toronto, yeah, at the Rehearsal Factory on Front and Sherbourne, which
I know the one. Yeah,
are you
another
one? Okay. Yep. So we were there for that was real. That place was a great it was just a mecca. Like
everyone was in there. My band, SoCal Honey's back about 10 years ago now. We jammed out of that space.
Okay.
One of the spaces. And like you just hanging out in that little space in the basement or whatever. You just see people coming through and it was
Alex Lifeson. I saw him there once.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was recording bands out of the jam space. And then Marco Mondano, who's now one of the co-owners of Grant Avenue Studio here, he's also the owner of DC Music.
Yep.
And DC was just starting out, and I ran into him at CMW.
And for those that don't know DC Music, what is that?
So DC Music is, Toronto's premier rehearsal space.
Right. Yeah.
They have they have hourly rooms, but they also have like a big sound stage in the back, mm-hmm. and really. All of the biggest touring bands rehearse there, and a lot of bands use it to get ready. Mm-hmm. Like Drake is in there. Our Lady Peace was in there last week. Nelly Furtado, like you name it. Like any Canadian major touring band is they're using DC.
To warm up and get ready.
Right? Yeah, so it's a really solid facility. And that's one of the really cool things about the partnership here at Grant is, having Marco involved. He has that entire with DC Music, just a hand in that entire side of the business.
Sure.
Artist development, touring, in ears, rehearsals. It's just so having DC and Grant working together and having that expertise and that experience is really a super, super cool and valuable things. So Marco asked me if I wanted to work as it, because they had a recording studio in early days, asked me if I wanted to be an engineer there. And I said, sure. And it was very, very, we had there were a few 57s, I think. And, it was really just.
I have a question, a quick question.
Sure.
How many 57s is too many 57s?
I would say none.
Okay.
I would say none. It's like asking how many guitars is too many guitars.
Got it. Okay. I'm ordering three more tonight.
All right. Okay.
Anyways, continue.
Sure. So I worked out of DC for about a, so this would have been mid to late 2000s, because when I left DC. It was because the band I was in, Reason Disappears, we had gone on the Warped tour, and I said I'm taken off for 3 weeks, and there were other people in the picture at that point, yeah. And it was amicable, but it made sense to sort of, you know, pass the torch to somebody else. And so then I freelanced for a few years. Then I started getting into that's when, you know, after a few years of dealing with bands and missing the writing process myself and feeling like I was just kind of wanted to be on the other side of the glass, so to speak, you know, and wanting to really develop myself more as a writer and an artist, I started getting into composing for film and television. That's when I went back to finish the music degree at York. Mm. And at some point, doing it part-time and still working as a freelance producer, I started to just really... I had always been interested in science, but it had been something I'd never really thought about seriously studying. And I'd had a couple of classes. I'd always been interested in psychology. And I felt at that point that all I'd ever really done was music. Mm-hmm. And I got really into neuroscience. And so I actually switched my major and graduated as a psychology and cognitive neuroscience major.
Fascinating.
And I was just not, I was just kind of, I was bored of just doing music all the time. And I was just sick of the freelance hustle. And I just needed a break from it.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was moving on. I thought, you know what? I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to record anymore. And I was okay with that. I was perfectly fine with that. I really was. I wasn't bitter or anything like that. And so I decided to pursue clinical audiology, which is hearing science and rehabilitation, right? So I went to Western for 2 years, hadn't really picked up a guitar in that time. And then somewhere along the lines, I started picking up guitar just for fun.
No kidding.
You know, and then that sort of snowballed. And at some point I realized, you know, I do actually miss doing this professionally. Mm. And so right around when I was getting my certification in audiology and moving back to Toronto to start practicing, I started really pursuing music seriously again. And so I, in a way, I had to restart, mm. you know, and at that point, it was also getting the skills, you know, up to date. And so I was doing that for a couple of years, working in a clinic for a couple of days a week, doing my freelance thing, still composing, but you know, it was just doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, and, I got a call, text from Mike saying, hey, you know, been a while. Marco and I are taking over Grant Avenue Studio in Hamilton.
We might need a hand.
Yeah. And I kind of laughed. He said, would you be interested? And I said, yeah, sure. Whatever, man. People talk, right?
Sure. I mean, that's the thing. Like, come up with ideas and, like, you know, they don't all stick, right?
But yeah.
That's the beauty of being in this industry is you get to, like, try things. Some things work, some things don't.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it turned out to turn into this.
Well, and it wasn't okay, sure, whatever, man, as in, oh, he's, you know, he's blowing smoke or anything like
no,
that.
But
it's just that, like, the, you know, people have ideas and things, you just learn the way it goes. Like, often things are exciting to talk about, but then they don't work out, and you just have to roll with it. And I thought, yeah, cool, but I didn't really think about it too much after that.
You also don't want to get your hopes up, be like, yeah,
that
let's
was it.
Do it. Oh my gosh, I'm calling you tomorrow. Like
that was
like,
it. Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, you have to kind of like play it a bit like it's gonna happen. If it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. If I'm the right person, I'm the right person. Right?
Exactly.
There's an element of like letting things come to you a little bit.
Yep, for sure. And I just I wasn't gonna bank all my hopes on it and think, oh yeah, and think about it all the time. It's like, cool.
That would be great.
I'm definitely interested. Let me know. And I thought about it for, you know, half a day and then kind of went about my business. And, you know, then I got a call from Mike a few weeks later. He said, hey, can you get in a conference call with Marco and myself to talk about this Grant Avenue thing? And I said, oh, it's serious. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, like papers are being signed and stuff. And so we got on the call and
it
took me a few days to sort of process it and register it, you know? And then, of course, we came down and saw the place. I'd never seen the place before. There's a vibe in this building, for sure, you know? And, I mean, people talk about the history here and all the stuff that's gone down, and it's pretty incredible. Like, I think about, I look at the walls, I just look around and think about what went down here, which I only hear about because I wasn't here, but it feels, it's special. It's a special place.
Every inch of this place feels intentional, and feels like it's made entirely for making music.
Yeah.
Like, there's no wasted space on energy and vibes. I love it here. And what's cool is from where we're sitting at the front, you can see all the way through.
Yes.
So everything's isolated, but you can also see everything right there.
Everything,
which is great.
And that was very much intentional.
Yeah.
Part of the design. That was because Dan and Bob Lanois and their partner Bob Deutsch, who founded the place, they, you know, had been working in other studios and found that it just felt really disconnected and that you'd be in a room and you couldn't see anybody. You'd hear, but there just wasn't that visual contact.
Yeah.
And in this place, you've got that. And it's awesome because it's so perfect for doing live off the floor recordings or even just getting bed tracks where the band is actually playing together. When you have that vibe of people actually playing together and the band is tight, or the, or at least they just have a certain energy and you can capture that, that's pretty awesome. And you know, to be honest, it makes the process a lot more fun and a lot more musical. You know, like sitting at a computer with a mouse and a keyboard, you can do incredible things, but it's also a very sterile process.
I find, because, when I record my own guitars in my own room, I got my own studio space, small, like in my house.
Yeah.
I find I need to do, like, a few takes just to get myself into, like, the mood of the song.
Yep.
Whereas when you're in it with, like, your friends or your bandmates, like, you're in it. You're ready to play.
And the excitement, you can feel the excitement. Everybody's got their headphones on. They can hear each other and see each other. And it's just like there's an energy that, that's really hard to recreate by layering things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I love it. And I think what's cool, too, I think, again, someone like myself who does, like, my own production. By the way, we're doing all this recording on microphones and this little box, and I'm actually quite embarrassed to bring this into here. It's like bringing a water gun to a bazooka fight or something like that. So that's I just have this, like, it's, I'm gonna shout out Roland Octocapture.
Is that what that is? Okay, I was wondering about that.
It's a Roland Octocapture, and look at me showing off. There's a room full of all this gear, and the only gear we're talking about is mine. But you can get two of them, which I have, and you can connect them. Now I have 16.
Oh. And do you use that for your recording interface as well?
That's it.
Amazing.
That's my thing. So I have 16 channels, a bunch of mics, and a whole lot of praying. That's kind of how it goes.
Right.
But here, I was so excited to come in today because, like, you have so much outboard gear, and we're going to try and use, like, terminology that music people can hear, understand, but also try and keep it layman as well because we could get deep.
Yeah.
But when I say outboard gear, what I'm saying is all the buttons and knobs that you'd imagine at a studio.
Nice.
So
it's all about knobs and buttons.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? So there are all these different things.
Yep.
Compressors.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite piece of outboard gear here?
Yeah, I do. And you asked me that question at the Supercrawl interview, and I didn't give a great answer, but it forced me to think about it.
And by the way, if people are listening, this is like you. That was a question that was asked 20 minutes ago. So now,
I can elaborate on that.
Good.
So I stand by the statement that the console.
Console is the big thing with all the switches.
All the switches. And this is a vintage console. It's an MCI JH500C with API preamps. Okay, so we're getting a little nerdy here. If that's okay.
API, for those that, Radiohead uses API. That's all I'm going to say. If you like Radiohead,
API is.
A lot of people do, but that's my big. Radiohead uses them.
All right.
Anyways, cool. Continue.
So this board was actually purchased and customized by Bob Lanois. So it's even though it's a model that, you know, many were made at a certain point in time, this particular configuration is one of a kind.
Amazing.
So the board and the patch bay, what I love about it is the tactile experience, and this ties into what I was saying about the mouse and the keyboard being just such an uninspiring way to to interface
yes.
with the sound, with the process, and touching the faders, turning the knobs physically, as opposed to going into a menu, is a very different experience. Mm. And if I want a compressor, I have to go over to the patch bay and I have to take a patch cord and I patch it in and then I physically turn a knob. And there's something about that tactile. It makes your space, your working space, larger because you're not just here. You're not just centered on the mouse and looking at the screen. You're, in a sense, you're more in the music.
Yeah.
Right? And it really does give you a different experience. It gives me a different experience anyway. And I love the sound of this board, but I also just love the experience of working on it.
Well, it comes to mind for someone who has never worked on a board like this uh-huh. is like, imagine you're trying to do something on Google Chrome and you've got 30 different tabs open.
Yeah.
Like, I need to go to this tab, I need to go to that tab. Your brain is like here, 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 here. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this scenario, you have like everything, all the tabs open all at once.
It's all in front of you.
Is that a good comparison?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, the cool thing about where we are with things today is you do have control surfaces now. You have like things that look like mixing boards and that you interact with them like they're a mixing board or a synth, but it's controlling the software.
Yeah.
And so that's a really cool thing. That kind of helps with the, you know, bridging the gap. Sort of best of both worlds, which is a, you know, our philosophy here at the studio is, you know, to really use the vintage gear and the analog side of things for all that it can do and the sounds and the work experience, but not ignore, you know, the power of digital music making and working within a computer as well, because there's so much you can do today.
Well,
and you know, it's using the right tools for the right task, I think.
What are some modern things that you've added to Grant Avenue since you guys have taken it over?
Mm-hmm. The first thing would be we brought, you know, state-of-the-art Mac studio machines in.
Yep, good move.
the previous owner, Bob Deutsch and Amy King, both, you know, both just amazing producers, engineers, and just people in general.
Mm-hmm.
They were working on a system called Radar, which is a great system, but it's like working on a tape machine.
I find, okay, tape might feel good or might have a cool sound, but even people who you might be like using the studio might have a different perception. Like, well, everything's done on a computer, so can't you just like, hey, can you bump this track or can you just do this little thing?
Yeah.
Like, on the well, if I'm using a tape machine, like I can't really do that. But mm-hmm. if you kind of have a modern option, then it's like, hey, can you do this little adjustment? Like, that's not as big of an issue. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because there is a certain expectation. People want to be able to play to a metronome, or they want to be able to move something very easily, and on the other hand, there have been people who've come in here specifically because of the Radar system.
So like, it's got a cult
following. Yeah, by Johnny Fay from the Tragically Hip,
uh-huh.
and Bill Dillon, who's a session player from Hamilton, who's played with Sarah McLachlan and Peter Gabriel, right. and he's quite a legend.
Mm-hmm.
They came in here specifically. Just Amy King did the session. It was just when we were in sort of transition phase, when we were starting to come in and they were wrapping it up. And they recorded a bunch of songs here. And Johnny, you know, wanted to come here for Radar, specifically for that.
Radar. For those listening, we're talking to Andrew Lozon of Grant Avenue Studio here in Hamilton. We're in the studio right now. This has been pre-recorded and I'm just like taking in this building. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for having me on. This has been fantastic thus far. So thanks.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
So as far as modernizing, there's other stuff here. I know you built like a room upstairs to kind of get away. You know, your brain's compressed a little bit from the recording session.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have a hangout area. And if, you know, the singer's sick of listening to a snare drum over and over again or whatever it happens to be, or just wants to get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good to have a place to get away. And then we also have a Studio B upstairs, which is a
Let's talk about Studio B for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a writing / production suite. You can do editing, overdubs. I do a lot of mixing up there.
But people can book that one out. So if they
So there's a couple different ways it can be utilized. They could book it with me or another engineer.
Yeah.
Or they could book it just by themselves. If you know, if somebody is a producer, works on their own music at home or whatever, and they just want access to a space that has, you know, treated, a room that's acoustically treated, that has, you know, top of the line gear. We have a Neumann Vintage U87 and the Shure SM7B up there, which, yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, those are probably two mics that account for 95% of the vocals ever recorded.
Ever, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so those go through, you know, a Class A signal chain. We've got Avalon and Universal Audio gear up there. So it's all top gear, and it's a space that people can come into and work out their ideas if they want just a room to mix in, if they just want a place to, you know, to if they just don't have access to the facilities. And people work in such different ways nowadays, and there's so many people doing their own things, but they might need access to a room like that for a certain part of the process.
You just read my mind, because I'm like, I'm imagining, okay, I've got my Focusrite, I've got my little two channel, and I'm like, I got these ideas.
Yeah.
Like, I'll spend like a day here and just like get all my harmonies down, get all this down.
Yep.
On like top, and you take it home and you mix it yourself, you do whatever. Like,
yeah.
just to capture on top gear, like that's, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, for sure. It's just like, you know, you can have access to, it's basically a super decked out home studio.
Yeah, totally.
We just wanted to have a room like that, for, you know, to work out of ourselves for projects, but also just to make those tools available and more accessible to people. Because that's I think one common thread throughout the history of this place, throughout the, you know, the different ownerships and the different, you know, eras, has been making the process of music making accessible to people and not intimidating.
Sure.
And not this, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I never came to Grand Avenue because I just didn't think, you know, I was, they felt intimidated or whatever, for whatever reason.
I can't work with.
Yeah. And it's like, man, that's not what it's about. It's about like making it so that people can get their ideas out and giving people a space to be creative in.
Yeah.
You know, and a place where they can, you know, if you're just starting out and you have no idea what to do, it's like, you know, we'll help you with that process.
You know, here's something I learned with our conversation before, mm-hmm. is that you can come here without even a fully, I thought you had to get like a song like totally like note for note, beat for beat ready, but people can come up with just ideas and make their ideas happen.
It happens all the time.
Tell me, because that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me of a situation, you don't have to say names or anything, but like, of someone comes with an idea and like what they would get here.
Yeah, I mean, like anything from, like, we get the whole spectrum of everything from, like you said, the bands that come in and they have note for note worked out, they know exactly what they want to do, you know, to somebody who just comes in with a melody line and doesn't play any instruments, doesn't know how to operate, you know, an audio workstation or anything, or even just lyrics. So sometimes you'll have people who will come in and say, hey, I sang over this thing. And you're like, okay, well, maybe we can replace that loop with maybe a real drummer. Or, you know, and hear different sounds and hear kind of what it could be. And so I've done that where somebody comes in with something and then we redo certain elements or we redo all of the elements. And it may be, you know, the exact same parts or changing the parts or something like that. And in other cases, yeah, somebody can come in with a melody and it'd just be, okay, I'll play some guitar, some chords under that. What do you think of that chord progression? And then you could build it from there.
By the way, we're Andrew Lozon here from Grant Avenue Studio. You don't have all the gear, but you've got all the gear.
We'll never have all the gear because there's always going to be something else you're going to want.
Something else, yeah. That's
gear acquisition syndrome, which, by the way, gear acquisition syndrome is a very real thing. Okay, just the, you know, it's I think it's kind of self-explanatory.
No, yeah, for those of you, what is gear acquisition syndrome?
So gear acquisition syndrome is just the, you know, the compulsive buying of gear and wanting more gear and better gear. And it's kind of an addiction. And it's something that, you know, I very much am guilty of. And have been. At a certain point, you have to also make decisions and decide, you know, do I really need this? Is it really going to enhance my workflow?
How does one overcome this?
Well, either get rich and then you don't have to overcome it.
Got it. Check.
Or you know, just look at your, I don't think you ever really do. I think you just learn to temper it. But gear acquisition syndrome, it is real, and it's very often abbreviated as GAS, which perhaps not coincidentally is also the initials of Grant Avenue Studio.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm just saying. There's something there.
Okay, one last question talking about ears, and I want to say thank you, first off, for taking the time. I know that you have a busy schedule and everything you have going on, so I greatly appreciate this time.
My pleasure.
And I just wanted to ask about, so you said ears.
Yes.
Okay, and for those listening to this episode, Andrew is a registered audiologist.
That's right.
So I'm going to ask you a question about my tinnitus.
Oh, okay.
Is there any, what can I do? If I'm someone who's been listening to music really loudly my whole life, do you prescribe anything for tinnitus, or do you have any thoughts regarding that?
Yeah, I have a lot. It depends. So tinnitus or tinnitus, depending on who you're talking to, it's a symptom with a number of different potential underlying causes.
Mm.
Okay. So just, it's like saying I have a headache. Well, there could be a number of reasons for that. Right.
The third Red Bull I had this morning. Right? Why do I have a headache?
Exactly. Yeah, right. So it depends if you have it. Do you have it in both ears or just one ear?
Both.
It's in both? Yeah. Is it there all the time or is it intermittent?
Only when it's like super quiet. I'm like lying in bed and I'm like, oh yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, hi you.
All right. Have you had it all of your life?
I don't know. I think it's honestly like probably like, you know, it's actually gotten better since I've been rehearsing less at the band. So maybe it was temporary.
Okay. Yeah. It can fluctuate over time.
Can it fluctuate? Yeah.
It could be exacerbated by things like smoking, caffeine, fatigue. It can be related to hearing loss, but it is not always.
Mm.
Okay, so the first thing that we do when somebody says they have tinnitus is we'll do a hearing test and see if there's some hearing loss. If there is in the high frequencies, there's no magic pill, unfortunately.
I heard it's incurable.
It's treatable. So there's no cure, but there are ways to treat it.
Okay.
And so when, you know, for anybody listening, and I really hope if nothing else, if you get nothing else out of this, if you have tinnitus and it's really, really bothering you, because that's the thing too. You also have to look at like how much of an impact is it having in your life, right? Because there are treatments, but again, there's no magic pill.
Mm.
But if you ever go to somebody and often I've heard people told there's nothing we can do about it. You just have to live with it.
That's what I hear.
And I really, really urge you to not accept that because it's not true. It's overly simplistic. But if it's not really bothering you, it's probably not worth pursuing the treatments.
Right.
Okay. So a quick overview I can give. If you do have hearing loss and you have tinnitus, there's a good chance that hearing aids could either calm it down or make it go away, right? Because one of the reasons it happens, it's kind of like a phantom limb. When you lose hearing sensitivity in certain frequencies, the neural pathways tend to kick into overdrive, okay, and create that sound that you're hearing in your head. So tinnitus comes from the brain, not from the ears, right? It comes from the auditory neural pathways. And when you put the hearing aids on, two things happen. A, you're masking those frequencies because you're now getting sound in that range.
And that'll reduce your brain going into overdrive.
Because it's now getting input, right? So that can calm it down. There's no guarantee. It's about 50% of cases. So the only way to know is to try it. But if you have hearing loss and you'd benefit from hearing aids anyway, it's worth a try, right?
Yeah.
And there are also treatments that are emerging. There's one called Linair. It's not yet approved in Canada, but it's a bimodal stimulation device, meaning it delivers sound and it delivers a mild electrical shock to your tongue. And what that helps to do is it helps to reprogram the neural pathways.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And so that's been showing a lot of promise. But as of yet, there is no one like definitive cure for tinnitus.
Right.
So.
Wow. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate that. Okay. I'm glad I asked that question. Whoa. Yeah.
I hope that made sense and wasn't too convoluted, but there's no, that's why when people say, nope, you just have to live with it. I find that's dismissive and overly simplistic.
Yeah. And this isn't a radio doctor program where it's like, well, nah, Dr. Andrew said blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, you're just like, look, like registered audiologist, I wasn't going to plug this, but if you do have any questions, like reach out to Andrew. He's at Grant Avenue. Like,
yep.
It's worth that. I'm going to plug it for you. Is we're asking a question. It doesn't hurt to ask, right?
So if you're absolutely. And I do treat musicians for hearing loss a couple days a week at Sense of Hearing. It's a clinic on Victoria Avenue across from the hospital.
Oh, in Hamilton, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So you could come see me there as well.
Amazing. Andrew, let's end on that.
All right.
This has been Inside the Music with Stereo Russ. Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah.
That's thespec.com/readerschoice. Thanks for supporting 93.3 CFMU in Hamilton. Shooting star in the sky.